Perfect. All right. Well, welcome everyone. We are here with another interview with a candidate for Kenosha County Sheriff. Here I'm with Brian Gonzalez. You're a deputy, if I'm not mistaken. No, you work for the police force. KPD.
Yeah, I work for the city. That's correct.
My mistake.
That's okay.
And you have for a while. You're a family man from what I read up on. I did, quick, of course, you have to do a little bit of research
sure.
when you know who you're talking to or whatever.
Yeah.
But I want to get into, your time as an officer, why you decided to run for sheriff, and more importantly, who you are, as a person. With my interviews, that's kind of the approach that I like to take,
sure.
a more personable approach, kind of more of just a conversation opposed to me, hitting you with the standard questions
sure.
that you're probably going to hear over and over and over again while you're on
probably.
The campaign trail. So,
yeah.
For people that aren't familiar with who you are, you want to just give me kind of like a rundown? You're from Kenosha originally,
I am.
Right?
So I was actually born in Georgia on an Army Air Base, so I'm an Army brat. No, I was born in Savannah, Georgia,
Okay.
Yeah. So I was born in Georgia, moved up here when I was too young to remember. I've lived all over this city. I lived in the Model Market neighborhood. I lived in the McKinley neighborhood. I went to the original Bain School that, they tore down to build the fire department. Like I said, I'm a son of a Vietnam vet, a person who had worked. My father had worked for Chrysler for all those years, like many, many kids in this town.
Yeah.
That's how I grew up. I grew up here. I attended Bradford High School. I was educated at Gateway Technical College. It's just I've been Kenosha my whole life. And, it's funny because you talk to some boys that are down in Georgia, like, oh, you can come back home. I'm like, no, this is my home. This is where I grew up. This is what I know. I have been a father now for 29 years. I've been a husband for 30 years to the same person. I've been a Christian since I've been a kid. Those principles, that Christian principle is what drives me as a person. Those are the things that have gotten me through all the times in my career, all the times in my life. I've been able to persevere through some things that people look and say, how did you make it through, some of those things that you did? And that's due to my faith. My faith in the Lord is what guides and does the things for me. Why did I want to be a police officer? When I was a kid, I was in San Antonio, Texas, and I was about 10 years old, and I had asthma very bad when I was a kid, very bad. I almost died a couple times. I almost died actually when my wife and I first got married from an asthma attack. She had to literally carry me into the hospital. That's how bad my asthma was. So back when I was a kid, I remember being with my cousins at this festival that was going on. And I remember specifically, passing out and kind of half with it. I remember my cousin had picked me up and ran me to a first aid station. And he ran me and put me in the arms of a police officer. And I remember bouncing up and down in this guy's arms, and I could see his badge and I could see his hat and I could just see what was going on. And that really stuck with me. Here's this officer who, is taken completely by surprise by this young kid that gets brought to him, handed to him, limp, noodled, and there's this guy running with everything he can to run me to the nearest first aid station and essentially save my life. That same officer, along with the ambulance drivers, actually came and saw me in the hospital. It was like something right out of a movie. This is 1980, 81, San Antonio, Texas. And that stuck with me. And between that situation and just watching what police officers do, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go in the military. I couldn't get in the military because I had very bad asthma, like I said. Or I wanted to be a police officer. Those were the things I wanted to do. And after working hard and testing at a couple different places and just putting all my energy into doing that with the blessing of my wife, I became a police officer. And I just happened to become a police officer in a place that I grew up. how could you ask for better than that, you know?
Right. And I mean, that's kind of what people want too, you know.
Yeah.
You know the area, you know the community, you know how things kind of go in the community, and that's kind of what people have kind of been, at least more recently, a lot nowadays is like, we want people that are from the community, that know people in the community, that are attached to the community, so you have that level of trust, you know.
Right.
So you've been now, 25 years as a police officer?
Yeah, it'll be 25 years in January. I've been a cop. I've been a street cop for, actually a third shift street cop for probably 20 of those.
Oh, wow.
20 of those years. Mm. I liked being on third shift. I liked being on the street. Being on the street, you get a chance to get to know the community, you know? I've rode every area in this town. We go by area, area 10, area 20, area 25, south side, north side, central part of town. I've rode every area in that town. When I would ride these areas, I would always try to get to know the business people there. Just talk to people on the street. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had in the middle of the night with young men, young women, whatever, just sitting down and being able to talk with them. Not only do you get to do your job, and part of what you do as a police officer is you engage and you encounter people. Mm. When I rode west later on in my career, when you ride west, west for us is west of Highway 31. Mm. Most people are asleep out that way. But the businesses are all awake. And so I would stop and talk to all of the, you know, the people at the Dunkin' Donuts or the people at the Quick Trip or the people at the Woodman's. And you get to know things, the people at the hotels. Hey, tell us what's going on. Mm. When you're a street cop, and you work that kind of an area, any area, that's where the best information comes from. Mm. That's how you know. You begin to care about your area. It used to drive me nuts. If something was broken into out there, it would drive me crazy if I wasn't working that day. Because that'd be a place I know I'd check. And when you're a third shift cop like this, you check doors. You do all kinds of things that people don't even realize that you do. I can't tell you how many doors I found open. You call a business guy and say, hey, man, your door is open, or hey man, this guy's trying to steal gas out of your, you know, out of your trucks out here. Mm. You take pride in that as a street cop, especially as one of the third shift coppers. All those kind of guys, they do that.
Mm. And I'm sure you're able to see like a completely different side of kind of the community, especially at that time of night, right? Because I'm sure there's different types of people operate when it's late, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, you have people that are up and work and things through all different times of night, but then also, you know, you don't have the protection of the sun, so I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of interesting things that go on that you could see. What was kind of like the difference being on this side of 31 opposed to being on the opposite side of 31? Like, I would say, dealing with people.
So when, and it all depends on, you know, like you said, third shift has its own, how I've always put it, its own set of clientele, right? And it didn't seem to really matter what side of the road you were on or on 31 or whatever the case may be, because it was always that same set of clientele. I mean, where do you go a lot of the times? You go to the bars.
Right.
You know, you get called. I had all the bars out west that I'd have to go to. The calls that I would get in some of the neighborhoods that were out that way are calls that are the same way I would get in the central part of town. Mm. So for a police officer, when we look at things, for us, at least for me, calls all seem to blend the same. I mean, you hear a story from one person, whether it be west of 31 or from a person in the central part of town, their stories are very similar. Mm. The only thing that changes is maybe the faces. Otherwise, the stories are pretty much the same. So as an officer, you just kind of get used to dealing with the different kind of calls. And again, they don't seem to matter from this location to this location to this location. You'd be quite surprised the amount of people that I dealt with in those diverse areas, their problems are still the same. So that's what I found.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of, you know, something that people maybe need to hear, you know, because there's, you know, throughout, we were talking off camera a little bit about, you know, kind of how things were going last year, and things, mm-hmm. you know, got pretty hot here in the town, in the city. And, you know, there is like a certain narrative that's attached to it, you know, where sure. it's, you know, like a pinpointed group or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, when it comes down to it, everybody kind of acts and reacts to things the same way, regardless of where you are. You know, communities could on the face look different or whatever and be populated with different types of people, but, you know, to hear that you're getting the same calls regardless of where you are, if you're west of 31, or if you're in the city, or, you know, on the north side, south side, everybody deals with the same stuff, and there's the same issues that kind of arise.
Absolutely. And you brought up last year, the one thing I reject totally is Kenosha is a divided community. Kenosha is this and Kenosha is that. This county, Corey, is strong. When I worked last year and I saw all the things that were going on, I watched as the people of this county stepped up to support us as law enforcement. Bradford was our central command. And I'm telling you, man, we had, it looked like a Sam's Club warehouse. There was so much pouring in of support that was coming in for the officers, for the feds that came, for the National Guard guys. You could definitely see this community wanted their town protected. You could definitely see that this county came together and supported its law enforcement, that this county came together and said, we're standing strong in the face of all this, and we're not going to let these outside knuckleheads come in and ruin it for us. Mm. There were people calling in from way out west. Hey, there's a line of cars with blacked out plates and they're coming up Highway 50. Pay attention to this. We were getting calls from everywhere. All my bosses and I have been on the same page, right? Most of the guys that I work with now that are in upper senior management, we all pretty much started at the same time. We're probably within a couple years of each other. Chief McGinnis and I, when you look in the old book, when we first got hired, we're like two people apart. So we got hired pretty much at the same time. All of us hadn't experienced something like this, but the one thing we noticed, the support was amazing. It's amazing how strong this county stood. I was so proud of the job that all of us guys did, that and the support that this community gave us, it made me even more want to add to that, to become sheriff. Just to add to that strength that I saw. You know, it's funny, because when the feds, and here's how you know who you are as a community. Here's how you know who you are as a county. When the outsiders come in and they see how different you are. So the feds are out, right? And they're amongst all these burnt buildings. And I got to work with the ATF. First night I was actually out of town. Second night I came in, I jumped right back on the road, and I was on the road for three nights right in the thick of a lot of these things. And then I got assigned to the ATF. And here I am with a group of ATF guys, and there was about 30 agents that came in and they worked. Every time they'd go out in that uptown area and all those areas, they'd come back and they'd be like, this place is amazing. He says, do you know how many people have come up to us and thanked us? Do you know how many people have come up and given us water? Gonzo, this is amazing. They call me Gonzo. Gonzo, this is amazing. These people in this town are amazing. They made them feel so welcome. They were so wanting to work for us to find out what was going on that they were happy to go back out on the road. No one gave them a hard time. Didn't matter what neighborhood. Those people from all those neighborhoods came out and thanked these guys. That's how you know. When President Trump came, I was able to meet him, and I was able to meet some of his staff and just talk with some of them. We impressed them. Do you realize, Corey, that our guys on the police department and on the sheriff's department did so well, that the feds actually brought people in to take notes on how we did things. Mm-hmm. That our guys from the police department are actually going to go around and teach other departments how to communicate better with the feds, how to take care of the problems when they arise. They call it the Kenosha model. That's how well we did. That's how strong this community is. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. You watch as people from Summers would call and, hey, there's a line of cars coming from Racine. Pay attention. we were getting calls from every direction, from every neighborhood. It didn't matter. Because like you and I were talking about, what we started to realize is these aren't Kenosha people that are doing this. These are people from out of town that are doing this. And the difference was the Kenosha people came out. Man, did they come out strong. Like I said, I was so impressed, and the feds were so impressed by us that we hit a home run when it shows how strong this county is. I know that because I saw it from behind the scenes.
Yeah, I would say like from like all aspects of the community, even, you know, even people on the activist side that are actually Kenoshans, mm-hmm. you know, did what they could to try to step up. And you kind of see as the timeline progresses, you know, when they got, you know, more of a handle of everything and kind of pushed people that were not from here out when it came to speaking and things like that. Things kind of, you see Kenosha came and they got things gathered together.
Yes.
And from that point, things started, you know, balancing back out. And yes. things eventually got to the point where everything was, you know, peachy keel. So and kind of like to address, I'm not sure how much you can talk about this, but you said that you were like you testified, right? So you actually see a lot of the people that were
so what my job is right now, so for like the last 3 years I'm what they call the court liaison officer. Court liaison officer, what I do is every felony that goes before the courts that has what they call a preliminary hearing. The preliminary hearing determines whether or not you're going to move forward in your case and go to a regular trial. And there's another step after that, but anyhow. So I testify. I read criminal complaints and testify to the allegations inside the criminal complaints. What I have found is because I face these people now face-to-face, and that's every day I do this. I'd be willing to bet, and I'm probably not too far off, probably 98% of the people that I've seen breaking into the uptown areas and a lot of these things, they're from out of town. They're not Kenoshans. Were there a couple? Sure, like I said, about 98% weren't. And that's how you know. Because the people in Kenosha were like, why are you doing this? I remember you and I were talking about this. Why are you trying to burn down our museum? That's our dinosaur museum. Are you kidding me? Why would you try to do that? Well, here it is coming to fruition. There is a detective on our police department, man, that I wouldn't want to get on his bad side because he's tracking all these boys down. And I say boys in a general term. That dude is working tirelessly to catch some of these guys. The feds have people that they're going after. See, people, what people don't see on the other side too is there's also going to be federal crimes out of all this stuff. There were people from way up north that came down here to do these things.
Way up like
Minneapolis area. So there were people that were here to strictly cause problems. And again, being that I worked with the ATF right up front with all these things, I saw that stuff firsthand. From investigating the arsons to a shooting that happened on the north side of town that people didn't hear about. All of those things I saw, but like I said, that one detective on our department, man, he's tracking these guys down, and that's what we're seeing, all out of towners, not from Kenosha. So that goes to show you, were there people from Kenosha doing things? Of course. I saw that too. I mean, I rode around in a minivan, and I had to jump out with my gun drawn in a minivan to save some of the businesses that were in town, because these people were going to come and break into them and smash it up and do whatever. So we did what we could to keep everything contained, and I thought we did a pretty doggone good job of it. When it came to the fires or whatever, we all took that personally. That's our town. You know, that's our town. The cops in this town, the one thing about us is most of us take pride in the fact that most of us live here. We are the community. You know what I'm saying? You always hear about, you know, cops. Somehow we want to get divided out, and they want to take cops, and they want to say, oh, they're different, they're this, they're... No. Our kids go to the same schools. We have to drive through this community like anybody else. We have to eat at the restaurants. We have to do all those things that everybody else does. We just happen to do a job that most people don't want to do. And there's the big difference with police officers. But when it came to last year... Man, Corey, I'm telling you, I couldn't have been any more proud to work for the department that I did and to watch those guys do the things they did, and there were a lot of guys that did far more than I did. Mm. Dudes that were in a blacked out, you know, sweating all day long and then taking their turn out front while they're getting fireworks thrown at them. Guys that were sitting in Humvees getting shot at as they're driving through Baker's Park. I mean, it's amazing that they, not Baker's Park, but the park in the central part of town, 63rd and 10th over there. Those guys busted their butt. Those guys who were, you know, saving the thing from getting burned down. But all of us felt the support of a strong community. And I'm telling you, man, it was pretty awesome on this side to watch. Mm-hmm. Even like you say, the people who had a different narrative did not want to see their town being destroyed.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I've, you know, kind of taken from all of this. And, you know, so, you know, as a person that's been born and raised in Kenosha, you know, sometimes you're like, man, should I move? Should I move away? And I'm like, I don't know, through all of this, and then just, again, the support from the community from, you know, all aspects, it's just like, man, there's, other than also we have a giant lake right here, and we're in the center of the country, and like, yeah. You know, from that aspect, of course, why would you move anywhere else? Because, you know, I'm foresight, but just how the community is, it's amazing, and it's the one thing that always makes me change my mind about going other places. You know, I go, you know, I've visited places where I've always wanted to move, and then I go there, and I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to leave Kenosha for this place. So,
right.
Man, so what made you decide to run for sheriff opposed to, of course, chief of police is an appointed position.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess from that aspect, being able to get out there and say, hey, I'm willing to do the job is a good reason, but what made you finally decide, like, this is what I want to do? I really, you know, I enjoy the police force and the work that I do on the police force, but I want to take the responsibility and, you know, be a servant. Like, in, you know, being a police officer, you are a servant of the people, but being the sheriff in its true essence, it's, you know, actually really, really being a servant of the people. You know, you take an oath, you're elected, it's, you know, a position that not anyone can get. So what made you want to, you know, finally get in the ring to do that?
Absolutely. You're right. I mean, think about the office of the sheriff. It goes, did the bidding of the king. Well, since in America we don't have a king anymore, it does the bidding of the people. And you're exactly right. It's one of those positions where when the people see you, they'll say, yes, we want this person to represent us and do what we need them to do to keep our community safe, because the power of the office of the sheriff is the highest power in the county, right? It is the power. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I realized when I watched the strength of this community and I watched the strength of the departments as they worked together and all these other departments that came, all the sacrifices some of these guys made coming from these different departments, they all had to report to the sheriff because it's his county. And now we got to divvy up the powers amongst all those things. And I watched that responsibility and I thought, man, and credit to the guy who's in there right now, the guy's done 20 years as sheriff, right? Dave Veth has put in his time and did those things. And I watched how that stuff played out. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to tear down the gas station. I just want to change the tank. Mm-hmm. I think I could bring different ideas and add to the strength that's already there. Mm-hmm. As sheriff. When I see the men and women of the sheriff's department and I see the struggles that we all have as police officers, I look and I say, you know what? I've had to persevere through some things in my career, so I understand that. So I want to run and make sure I can shore it up for them. I want to make sure that the clerk who checks in the prisoner, who while they're sitting there inside this jail cell or inside their office while their city is burning down around them and they're trying to figure out what's going on with their families and they can't leave and they got to get bussed into the building and they're sitting inside there worried, sick about what's going on the outside, that their town is burning down. I may be out on the street, they're stuck inside there and they're like, what is happening? I want to be there for them. I want to be there for those officers whose families are just worried sick. I mean, I had to get my family out of town, you know. And then as my family is out of town, they're wondering what's going on with me. You know, what, Dad, are you safe? I'm getting called. I'm getting text. That's everybody on the road. You know, we're putting in 18, 19, 20 hours. I want to be there for them. I want to be able to be a servant, not only to the people that elect me, but to the people that are below me. Because, look, the sheriff is the top guy, right? He's the face of everything. But there is no top without a bottom. I want to be able to be in a position where I'm a servant leader. The Bible says it like this: as police officers, they are ministers to the people for good. Ministers are people that are usually what? What do you hear about ministers usually?
People of faith.
People of faith. But they feel called, right? The one thing about being a police officer is a police officer, a deputy sheriff, these are men and women who are picked sometimes amongst thousands. I think when I took the test, there was probably 1,500, maybe close to 2,000 people that took that test. And you get 5, 6 positions, maybe 10. So you're handpicked. That's who a police officer is. But a sheriff, you're right. You're a handpicked person out of how many people are going to run in this particular race. And you have to have that ministerial servant mindset. This is something that has been laid upon my heart. This is a door I know I'm going to walk through. But I'll never pretend to know. I know the outcome of it. I just know I'm supposed to go and walk through this door. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. You know, life experience, you know, things that you go through, ups and downs, you know, they kind of set you on the path to where you're supposed to go.
Yes.
Know? And it's up to you to kind of feel the signs or see the signs and follow your heart and use your intuition to just keep on going down that path. So I completely understand where you're coming from. You just feel like the time is right.
Yes.
Your life experience has got you to this point where now you just feel like you're prepared.
Yes.
And, you know, that's the same way I try to operate, you know. Mm-hmm. In this, I'm not a super, I'd say, spiritual person or religious person, but I believe in, you know, a divine creator. Mm-hmm. All of this came from somewhere, and how things kind of work out, it's so perfect that, like, there has to be some sort of architect in you know, some manner. But I kind of always just go with the flow and, like, let my heart kind of guide me throughout everything, because, you know, I've had my ups, I've had my downs in life, but every time I just followed my heart, I always ended up where I needed to be. So I definitely can mesh with that sentiment there and why you decided to run. So is there anything in specific that you wanted to, I don't know, highlight that you feel like you would bring to the table opposed to that other candidates could not bring to the table? Of course, your experience and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our different experiences, right? So each candidate is going to bring forth an experience. Like I said, for me, being a road cop for those 20 years, being a third shift road cop for those 20 years, man, Corey, there are some things that I wish I could unsee. I tell people all the time, if I could delete some parts of my brain to unsee the things that I've seen, I would do it, simply because of the horrific things that I've seen throughout my career. But there's also the times when I have been able to just talk one-on-one with people, just being able to share the gospel with people, and I've done that on the job many times because I'm first and foremost a Christian. So I'm not going to hide the fact from you. If you're sitting in the back of my squad car and I'm going to share the gospel with you, I've done it many, many times. But what do I bring to the table? I have, thank the Lord, through the faith of my wife, through the prayers of many people, have been able to persevere through some things that people have looked at me and just said, how could you possibly do this? Why are you still doing this? Why haven't you just walked away? Or why haven't you just retired? Why haven't you just any of those things? And it's as you said, because I've persevered through all of that, I think it's setting me up for such a time as this, to take that leadership position. Because it's the time that you need someone who has persevered through things. One of the things that I had thought about when I was running for sheriff, and this is something that had been on my heart for a while, is I want to do reform for nonviolent criminals. You see, I face these young men and women every day. Some of these people I see, they have absolutely no hope in the world. I look at their faces and they're just so dejected. And I think to myself, you know, some of these nonviolent criminals, the violent criminals, they're going to pay. They have to pay. I'm all about the fact that, look, you got yourself arrested in this. I can't tell you how many people say, well, you arrested me, you're doing this. No, you did that. It was your choice. It wasn't mine. My job is to simply arrest you because of what you did wrong. But you did that. But some of these people I see, they get sent to jail. What do you do? Just warehousing them there? Just kind of keeping them there as what? So one of the things I want to do is nonviolent reform. I've been in talk with business people who have owned factories, different business people I've talked to, defense attorneys I've talked to. One of the things that I would like to do is have the ability, and I'll get together with some of the judges, have the ability to maybe teach some of these people a skill. Some of the people who really want to change, some of the people who really don't want to be in jail, but maybe they just, life has twisted and turned them all around, and nonviolent thing is what they figured they should do. Maybe they should steal a car. Maybe they should, you know, break into a store. But not only should they be able to be reformed in some way, they should have to pay back what it is that they did. They should realize that there's a victim behind that car that you stole. There's a victim behind that place that you broke into. This is somebody's livelihood that you're messing with. Maybe you need to understand what it's like to have a livelihood. Maybe you didn't realize when you did the thing that you did that there's actually someone behind that. It's just not for you to take or for you to have. So maybe a business would come along and say, yeah, I'll teach that young person a skill. Yeah, I'll teach that guy a skill because he wants to change. Teach him how to have a bank account. Teach him how to have all those things. And like I said, I've been in talks with people that's one of the programs that I would really, really like to do.
And I think that would do wonders for the community. I think, honestly, just in general, that would do wonders even, you know, across the board, just in policing. Because you do see a lot of people, you know, that, I mean, you hear it sometimes if you talk to people on the street, you know, there's like, man, it's about to be wintertime. What am I going to do? Let me just go get locked up for a couple months because I have nowhere to go anyways, you know? And I mean, and it creates that mindset of, you know, criminality being okay, or it's, you know, it's all right to use it as a last resort, when in actuality, you know, being a criminal should never be a resort at all. It should never be okay, you know? And of course, people will, you know, argue what should be a crime or what shouldn't be a crime. That's a completely different conversation.
That's a whole other story, right?
Yeah. But when it comes down to it, you know, when it comes to nonviolent offenses, you know, a lot of these are not all of them, but a lot of them are circumstantial, where, you know, people feel like they have no other option, so they're going to go and do, you know, these certain things.
Corey, I've had many conversations with a lot of young men, and a lot of them with kids, a lot of them who would like to be fathers, but have no idea how to be a father. A lot of them who would like to do something different. And I tell them plain and simple, take a look at that person. Tell me, I would say to them, and I've said it quite often, do you want your son or your daughter to look in the mirror and see you? Is that what you want? And some will look at me with blank stares. Some will look at me like they never thought about it. You see, sometimes you have to take a person outside of themselves because they become so enwrapped in themselves that they just can't see out. And you point out the obvious to them, and they're like, oh, my goodness, you're right. I have a little life that I have to influence. And like you say, maybe that person just doesn't feel they've ever had the opportunity. I've known guys that screwed up when they were younger, stole cars or whatever. To this day, they can't even go hunting because I got charged with a felony years and years and years ago, and they can't even buy a hunting license. Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't that guy be able to have a chance as a nonviolent person to say, hey, at least I can make something of myself. Yeah, I can make something, actually buy for my kid. All the while, I have to pay for what I did to society, pay back that person who I broke into their shop. But not only that, I get to keep all those things. I've had many conversations like that. And you're exactly right. Crime of opportunity. I got nothing else to do, nowhere else to go. I want to try to make a difference in their life.
Or also, or even a lack of knowledge, you know? You see so many young people get wrapped up just being kind of young, not knowing, you know, not saying not knowing right from wrong, but being young, especially young guys, you know? That's yeah. Kind of gung-ho.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to impress somebody or something, you know, whatever it may be. And then they get themselves in a situation. And, you know, and a lot of people, you know, end up with that mark on their record for the rest of their lives, something that happens when they're 18 or something yeah. like that, you know? And a lot of people change. I'm sure you encounter people, you know, that maybe you've arrested being, you know, an officer for so long, 25 years. I'm sure there's people that you maybe arrested 20 years ago that you see now and they're a great person, you know?
So, man, I can't tell you. I used to work at Washington Middle School as a security officer. I can't tell you how many of those kids will come up to me that I see that were little troublemakers back then, and I watched them get in trouble throughout all their time. And, hey, Gonzo, man, I'm doing this, and I've been out. My wife and I will be out. She'll look at me like, do you know this person? They'll be staring at me for somewhere. Officer Gonzo, hey, man, I remember you. You know, you remember me? And you know, of course, you recognize they grew up a little bit, and you're exactly right. They came around. I remember telling one kid in particular, it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. This kid was 16 years old. And I said, look, man, you don't got to be that way. You're different. Don't you understand? That's why all your friends look at you and you're so different. He went and joined either the Army or Marine Corps. I seen him a couple years later. He's like, Gonzo, hey, man, I did it. He was so excited to tell me how he changed his life and how he changed his way. And I was like, yeah. Was it because I changed him? No, it was because I just took the time to talk to him to see. You're exactly right. That's the thing now. I'm at the point in my career when little kids I saw are now these bigger kids have kids of their own. Some will tell me, hey, Gonzo, you remember me when I was younger? Yeah, your kid's just like you. So remember, but that's the reward of being a police officer. You know, that is the reward of being a police officer. And because I've been on the road for so long and seen some of these guys, and not as many as some other guys, and in my story, Corey is not unique. This is most officers that work on the road. We care for people to the point where we do take it personally when they come up to us and they say, hey, man, we made it. I bet you could talk to a lot of our coppers and they would say the same type of thing. Mm-hmm. Cops do it because they want to help people. Cops don't do it because they want to, you know, arrest everybody and do it. And maybe there are somewhat attitudes, but most of us want to help people. That's what we really want to do. So that's how it is for me. It's always been that way.
Man, well, let people know where they can find you, how they can, if they want to reach out for help with the campaign, whatever it may be.
So I don't have a website per se, but I have Gonzalez for Sheriff on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So like me on Facebook. God, it's so strange for me. I never had a Facebook up until now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's something you want to get a hold of me, contact me through my Facebook page. If you want a sign or something to put in your yard, God bless you. If you want to make a donation, God bless you for that too. But yeah, Gonzalez for Sheriff on Facebook. And perfect. I think Gonzo, my wife put something on Gonzo for Sheriff, something like that. So,
okay. Nice. I like that nickname too, Gonzo.
Gonzo, yeah. That's how most people know me. My name is Albert Brian Gonzalez. That's what's going to be on the ballot. Because people went to school with me, and some know me as Albert. Mm-hmm. Most guys on the department know me as Gonzo. Mm-hmm. People that are just my friends who've been a long time usually will call me Brian. So mm-hmm. Gonzo usually covers the whole spectrum.
Nice. All right. Well, Officer Gonzo, I definitely appreciate you coming in, having a conversation with us. Best of luck on the campaign. I know we're kind of early, but we still have a lot of ground to cover. So best of luck with all of that. Again, everybody on Facebook, if you want more information on Officer Albert Brian Gonzalez, Gonzo here, Stop by his Facebook page, Gonzalez for Kenosha County Sheriff. Get all your information there. I see you've been doing updates and stuff like that on there as well. So, you know, tune in with him. And again, thank you so much for stopping in. I definitely appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.